A new play entitled The Bonus Room will debut at the Grange Theater in Copenhagen, New York for 8 performances in the weekends of September 28th through the 30th and October 5th through the 7th. The play is a lighthearted look at white-collar crime and the loss of trust in America. It is by Hudson Valley playwright James Sheldon. James Sheldon's previous play, Shiverman, is it Shiverman or Shiverman?
Shiverman.
Shiverman opened this spring in London, where it has been nominated as Best New Play of the Year by the Off West End Awards. James Sheldon joins us now to talk about The Bonus Room. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
That's a pleasure for me, too.
What brought you to this subject of white-collar crime?
Well, this month marks the 4th anniversary of what's been called the financial crash of 2008.
Right.
It seemed to me that it was not just a crash of financial markets that we suffered through. It was a crash of confidence, a loss of trust in the people and the institutions that had created a kind of bubble of prosperity that helped the country recover from 9/11. We were about to learn of the likes of Bernard Madoff, who stole billions of dollars from his clients, Rob Blagojevich, the governor of Illinois, who was accused and convicted of peddling the Senate seat that Barack Obama vacated to become president. And we were at the peak of the steroid scandal in Major League Baseball, allegations that Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, and many others had broken the laws again to get ahead. I was interested in the motives and the methods of these white-collar criminals, but most of all, what interested me was how the investors, the fans, the voters, all of us really, enabled them to succeed with their nefarious schemes. And I tried to create a very fictional version of some of these characters in a setting that would allow me to explore who they were, why they did what they did, and how they got away with it, and what role the general public played in allowing them to get away with it.
It seems to me, and I was thinking about this last night as I was reviewing notes to talk to you, that when we look at trust and we think of that and what has happened in the examples that you just mentioned, sure, there's a trust in the individual. There's a trust in the banker. There's a trust in the baseball player. There's a trust that we have. But I think we also have a trust in a system, and assuming that, well, we have things in place that wouldn't let people get away with that. You know, we can do this because that will not be allowed. And there are safeguards in place. And it seems in many of the examples that you just mentioned, that's where we got screwed. That's where the systems broke down.
Well, the systems, which are supposed to apply to all of us, do a fairly good job most of the time for 98% of us. But there's a 2%. There are outliers who, for whatever psychological reasons and financial reasons, choose to ignore or sidestep the rules of the system. And these are not necessarily evil men and women, but they are men and women that, as the play explores, have a kind of psychological deficiency, deficient compared to most of us, but who are able to bring to bear great ambitions, often great talent, and great drive to succeed in worlds that, yes, the system tells them they have to obey certain rules, but the system also rewards them, even if they break those rules.
And on the other side of the coin, especially in something like the Madoff affair, where you have people that, yes, certainly were abused, certainly lost their fortunes, and yet their motivation in all of this was to hopefully make more money.
Yes, we all have, you know, we all have greedy motivations, or we all want to have our candidate representing us in the high office. We all want to see our baseball team win the series. But, you know, a lot of, let's take the Madoff case as an example. Many, if not most, of the investors who were duped by Bernard Madoff were fairly intelligent, very intelligent, and often very experienced people, experienced in financial dealings. And they knew better. What he was offering, the perfect return year after year,
too
just couldn't happen. Now, these people knew it couldn't happen. They knew rationally it couldn't happen, but when they were offered that free lunch, that it could benefit them, they said, hey, let's ignore what we know best. Roger Clemens supposedly was able to pitch a ball faster at the age of 42 than at 32. Everyone knew that that doesn't happen, that the body doesn't allow for that unless the body is taken to another level.
We want it to happen.
We want it to happen. And to me, that's the most interesting part of all of this. And we're getting more and more examples of these outliers breaking the rules. But why is it that we all want it to happen? Well, for personal reasons. Yes, we can make more money if Bernard Madoff continues to do well. But I think also, you know, we are, as part of the system, we are encouraged and satisfied when we do give our trust to these figures. It's part and parcel of a system that generally works very well.
Where does the title The Bonus Room come from?
Well, I have three characters, three of these criminals, and a fourth character who's a government psychologist. One of the characters Madoff like, but not at all Bernie Madoff, has made his millions, hundreds of millions, in the housing market. And he comes up with, he came up some time ago with a notion of the bonus room, which was an extra room in a new house. It could be a bedroom or a media room or a guest room, anything you wanted, as he says, an extra room to flex your dreams in. Mm. The bonus room or the bonus, the promise of something for nothing. That's kind of the idea that I'm trying to describe and play with in the story here.
And that flexing your dreams.
In flexing your dreams, yeah. You know, we all want, we're still going through this housing bubble and the repercussions of it. But what is it about the single family home, the new home that everybody can buy, whether, as one of the characters in the play says, no matter what your skin color, your religion, or your income, you can have your own home. Having your own home with a little extra bonus room to it. That's, you know, what they say is the American dream. It's a sense of security. It's a sense of getting something that puts you on the map. And the bonus room is that little extra sales trinket that that drives people to the Madoffs or to the perfect politician or to the baseball player that seems to be immortal.
As we mentioned at the beginning, the play explores trust, and one of the questions I have about this, about what we've gone through and continue to go through, is how we restore that trust, how we restore that faith without becoming over cynical, and not that that, and it seems in the current environment that we should be cynical.
Well, we should always be cynical and skeptical, but I think we should also, the message of the play perhaps is that we have to acknowledge that we're all susceptible and that people like these characters in history or on the stage will be able to get away with it unless we are more careful in how we view ourselves and through ourselves how we view them.
And we have to hold them accountable as well as those other safeguards.
We have to hold ourselves accountable. When someone offers us a bonus, something too good to be true, we really have to step back and say, there is no free lunch. If it sounds too good, it probably is.
Where does it go awry? I mean, if you're down in Florida and you're walking down the street, and somebody comes up to you and says, "I'll give you a week at Disney World," and all you have to do is come see this this video about a housing opportunity or whatever the mm-hmm. case may be, and you know, most people look at their spouses and say, "No, thank you," you know, because they know they're going to be in for the sales pitch and they just want to get on with their vacation. But at what point does that then sound better?
What point does it sound better? This is the joy of being America, being an American in this country, where you really do have opportunities, where sometimes, you know what? Sometimes if you just go and sit through a sales pitch, you can get a free week at Disney World. But we tend to blind ourselves to the very rare but always possible situation where the sales pitch is not giving us what it purports to. And how do we stop it? That's a discussion for another day, and perhaps with political scientists and sociologists. my approach was to try to bring people into experiencing and thinking about these issues through the characters that I've created on the stage.
I'll always trust the playwright.
Always trust the playwright.
Always trust the playwright.
Don't expect an answer, but always trust the playwright.
The new play is entitled The Bonus Room. It debuts at the Grange Theater in Copaig for 8 performances in the weekends of September 28th through the 30th and October 5th through the 7th. Really sounds marvelous, James. We wish you all the luck in the world with this, and of course, congratulate you for your great fortunes with Shiverman.
Thank you.
Again, it's The Bonus Room. It's at the Grange Theater in Copaig during the weekends of September 28th through the 30th. And for information, you can call 845-677-4446. 845-677-4446. James Sheldon, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed it.